Hello, this is J.P. Kirsch, and I'm your moderator. I'm here with State Senator John Cain, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Cain or his guest, press *3 at any time on your phone's keypad. That's *3 to ask a question. Now let's welcome Senator John Cain.
Thank you, J.P., and good evening, everyone, and welcome to our telephone town hall. For those of you who don't know me, my name is State Senator John Cain, and I am the senator in the 9th Senatorial District, which covers parts of Delaware and Chester counties. Like JP said, if you have any questions during tonight's town hall, please press *3 on your phone's keypad at any time. Tonight, we'll be talking about a topic close to my heart, mental health. I'm here tonight with Donna Holliday, who's Delaware County's Deputy Mental Health Administration. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're coming off a year that has been challenging on all of us. Between a global pandemic, changes in school and work, and the biggest recession in over a decade, there are new sources of stress on all of us, meaning new mental health challenges for many. I know what many of you are facing during this pandemic. Trying to be a state senator, I spent 4 decades as a union plumber. I don't have a college degree. I know what it's like to wait in line for unemployment checks and to worry about how you're going to put food on your table to support your family. I led my union through the 2008 recession, which put about 500 of my members out of work. I saw members struggle with opioid addiction and substance abuse, and some died by suicide. I know the emotional toll that economic hardships can take. I also personally know what it's like to struggle with addiction. At the age of 22, I sought treatment for alcohol addiction, and I'm proud to say that I have 37 years of sobriety. I also know what it feels like to face medical obstacles. In 2015, I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. I'm proud to say that I have now been cancer-free for 6 years. Thanks to the incredible doctors and nurses and the benefits of good health care. My story is different than a lot of elected officials, but I know it's similar to a lot of yours. I know the struggles many of you are facing. In a few minutes, we'll begin taking your questions. And like I said, please press *3 if you have any questions. I want to make sure everyone knows help is out there. If you or a loved one is struggling, you can always call the Pennsylvania Mental Health Support Line at 855-284-2494 or the Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Tonight, we're sharing additional resources and information about mental health for Pennsylvanians. But you're also welcome to ask questions about my work in Harrisburg and the issues that I have been working on for you. If you have a question, you can press *3 on your phone at any time. To help provide information about local mental health resources, I'm excited to have Donna Holliday, Delaware County's Deputy Mental Health Administrator, here tonight to share some of the information that's available. I'm going to turn it over to Donna to introduce herself to everyone. It's all yours, Donna.
Thank you, Senator Cain. Good evening, everyone. And I'm happy to be on this call this evening to talk about this subject, especially during this month, as it is Mental Health Awareness Month. As Senator Cain mentioned, I am from the Delaware County Office of Behavioral Health. Department of Human Services, and my department is the Mental Health Division. Our office is responsible for providing services in the county to Delaware County residents. We are an administrative office. We contract with several providers in the county for treatment and recovery services. During this pandemic for the last 15 months or so, fortunately, we have been able to maintain services virtually through telehealth, and we have been able to keep everything going, all the resources going that our residents need. Additionally, in addition to the Pennsylvania numbers that Senator Kane offered, we do have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week number people can call for help and for direction. That number is 1-855-889-7827. We also have a website, DelawareCountyHSA.org, where we can help people navigate to receive the services they need for themselves or their children, other loved ones who may need assistance. Thankfully, we have been able to provide information regarding a lot of resources, and sometimes we know it can become overwhelming. So we encourage you to call our office, to go online and to ask any questions you may have about accessing services in the county. That's what we're here to do. So hopefully I can answer any specific questions you may have regarding the resources that are provided. Anything that I cannot answer, we will circle back and provide a response for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. And I guess for now, we'll start taking some questions.
All right. Thank you, Senator. I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to a live telephone town hall with State Senator John Kane and Donna Holliday, Deputy Mental Health Administrator for Delaware County, talking about mental health, especially in regards to the pandemic. Let's start, Senator, tonight with a question that we received online. And one of those is, are there mental health resources specifically available for teenagers and youth?
That's a great question. So I'm going to turn that one over to Donna. I would think that there would be.
Yes, we do have. We do offer transitional age services in the county that deal with adolescents and deal with youth. They are primarily in our network with our managed care organization. And it depends on what type of services you're looking for, but we have residential services, residential treatment services. We have outpatient services, inpatient services. These are all covered for children and adolescents, and they are in the network of services provided by our managed care company.
All right, thank you. Remind our listeners that if you have a question for Senator Kane or his guest, press *3 on your telephone's keypad if you want to join the conversation. All right, if everybody's ready, we're going to go to a live caller, Megan in Delaware County. Megan, you're on live with Senator Kane and his guest. Megan, are you there?
Oh, hi.
Hello.
I was just wondering, in terms of, like, the opioid epidemic and everything like that and, you know, increased alcoholism with the pandemic, are there any things being moved forward in terms of alternative medicine?
Donna, do you have any answers for that?
We, in the Office of Behavioral Health, we are in the same office with the our DNA department, and they could best answer the question regarding opioid use and any additional medications regarding that. So that is something I could take back for response from our DNA, our SCA.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I was going to say that's a great question to ask I'd like to touch on that a little bit because of the pandemic and because of people are really hurting out there with unemployment. You know, people are starting to run out of unemployment. They're running out of health care. They're certainly running out of money. You know, people are starting to do more opioids than ever. The drinking is starting to be a big issue. So, you know, if anybody has any questions or anything like that, if they want to reach out to our office, we'd be more than welcome to have, you know, help them out in any way that we possibly can. Great question.
All right, let's next go live to Edward and Glenn Mills. Edward, you're on live with Senator Kane and his guests.
Senator, I just want to applaud you on your success in your life. It's not an easy thing to do. I know a couple people that have done it, and I just think of the world of you. But my main question is, I was just wondering, what's the status on the creation of the Delaware County Health Department? I understand it's in the works, and it's going to start sometime next year. So if somebody could just delve into that, I'd appreciate it.
A great question, Edward. What I can tell you is that the Delaware County Health Department will open in January of 2022. There is a 5-member board of health that was just appointed. And I'd also like to remind everybody, too, that Yaden's site is open now for vaccines and testing if anybody needs to get anything done over there. But we're looking at January of 2022, Edward.
Is Bobby.
All right, next we're going to go to Pamela in Chester. Pamela, you're on live with Senator Kane and his guest.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Loud and clear.
Okay, I was wondering about mental health, about what happens if a person needs mental health, but they don't have any medical insurance. Are there any resources for that where it could be a free resource or on a sliding scale or something like that?
Absolutely. All of our services for individuals who are underinsured or uninsured, we provide county funding for services for those in need of treatment as they are in the process of obtaining insurance benefits. So there are resources available. We don't want people to go without treatment due to the lack of insurance, so we do use county funding and authorize for services as people are applying for benefits.
Okay, I just want to ask another question. Years ago, even before the pandemic, a friend of mine needed some mental health, and I spent days and hours trying to find, and people were telling me, the mental health experts were telling me that they are so backed up. And I can only imagine how it may be because of the pandemic. Are people being seen when they need to be seen? Are they still, you know, backlogged?
People are being seen. Now, what I can say is, depending on the level of care the individual may need, while we may be able to address their immediate concerns and then get them scheduled for follow-up services, everything is available. It just depends on what the level of need is, you know, the person's interest in receiving services. But yes, everything is still happening and operating.
So how would they get, do you have a number where they could get services if they are underinsured?
Yes.
Go ahead.
We have two access points, one at each end of the county. We have a base service unit in Sharon Hill at Merrickie. And we also have a base service unit in Upland at Crozier Chester. And those base service units are generally our point of entry for individuals who need intake to assess what services they may need for ongoing treatment.
Okay, I see.
It may be outpatient treatment or case management services. Whatever they need, if they're entering the system for the first time, that's usually the route we suggest that people take.
I see. Well, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Pamela, I'd like to just answer one the first part of your question. The state of Pennsylvania, if you're having trouble with getting mental health benefits covered by insurance, you could call the Pennsylvania Department of Insurance. That number, if you're ready, I'll give it to you, is 877-881-6388. Or you could contact my office, and we'll be happy to give you that number if you weren't able to get it.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Pamela. Next, we're going to go to Karen in Wallingford. Karen, you're on live with Senator Kane and his guest.
Hi, Senator Kane. Senator Kane, I also just want to give you my heartfelt feeling about you going through stage 3 cancer. I've just been going through stage 4 and stage 3, two different cancers, and I am going to counseling. But I also have dealt with a couple situations, a friend who was addicted to drugs and tried to help her in Florida because I was born in Philly, lived in Florida for a while. And there's two people in particular I tried to help when I was in Florida. She is one of them. And getting into a facility down there that would take her with the cost that they were trying to put on her was ridiculous. It was, going through all kinds of things. And then this other person was schizophrenic and a lovely person with a horrible disease and had nobody. And I tried to get her into homes, you know, places to live, that kind of thing there, and was having, I know that's Florida, but what it said to me is, I feel like, is there a chance that we can start from some place that we already have some of these things put together and create a system where people are assessed? And like you're saying, in the last call, I got part of the last call since I was, you know, previously putting my name in. Somehow getting really good practitioners, doctors, medical people in on mental health, that it's not a place where these practitioners don't want to be. Like, is there somehow of getting funds together so that people that are very qualified want to get into this? Because I just feel like we're falling apart here, you know, between, like you say, the opioids, and then when people are in the hospital, they get drugs and they're told, don't have the cycle go further, you have to pull back. After a couple of my operations, thank God I have a high pain threshold, I just did Tylenol, but people have operations, now they're addicted to drugs. And where do you kind of start to get something where there's more of a system in place that prevents some of these things, and then when it's there, how can we get people in place that really care and are qualified people to deal with these situations? Sorry if I was talking too much.
You're fine. Donna, do you want to handle that, or would you like me to talk a little bit about what I'm thinking?
Well, I can speak to that a little bit, because in our system, especially for publicly funded mental health, that is exactly right. We often struggle with recruiting staff who sincerely want to work in this field, and
right,
being able to pay them the amount of money to, you know, compensate them for the jobs that they're doing, and to be able to give them the wages they need, is something that we constantly struggle with. As far as also when we provide, you know, years of training, and then they are able to go maybe into the private sector and obtain higher wages, and they take our training with them, and they leave
right,
our agencies. So recruitment and retention is always a high priority for those of us working in the public mental health field. You're absolutely right.
Right. Is there any way that there's some allocation of funds that can go toward that? Or is there any way we as people in the state can come up with an idea or a charity-based thing or something that would help with that?
Well, coming from the state level, I believe that there's, you know, there's always funding that's available from the state. But if you go back, if you just think about when it happened, Karen, 30 years ago in our area, we had the Hartford State Mental Hospital. They closed it down. We had Byberry up in the far northeast. They closed it down. These were facilities where people could go that had mental health issues, and they were going to be taken care of professionally. We no longer have those facilities. And what ends up happening, we have people dealing with anxiety. We have people that are, you know, bipolar. We have, you know, if they don't have their medication correct, they're not right. And you know, these are the types of things that we're dealing with more and more now, more so than probably ever. We see more people now being incarcerated. That's where they're putting them. They're putting them in jail. And it's not fair to them, you know, because they're not medicated right. I know I've introduced three pieces of legislation related to making sure that everything will be covered by health insurance. But I don't know if we have the proper people that are going to be able to work on individuals that are having healthcare issues. They need to go to the right places. The only place that I know, and I have a personal friend of mine that has a son with issues, and the only place he could take them is the Norristown Mental Health Hospital. That's the only place nearby that can really handle him. But the system to me has been broken. It was broken 30 years ago when they closed down a couple of these facilities. And, you know, that's something that I'm going to advocate for. I come from a background of I've had thoughts, you know, whether it's suicidal thoughts. I didn't feel as though that I was, you know, I didn't think I was good enough, or I'm pretty much at that point, I was drinking to kill the pain. And I know if I didn't stop drinking, I'd be dead. I know that, period. I'd be dead. I didn't like the person that I was. I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't like the way people talked about me. You know, there's people out there that are dealing with this type of mental illness all the time. I think about my members that came to me that had issues. And because of that, there was no work. They ran out of unemployment. They ran out of health care. They ran out of money. They were construction workers. They were tough guys. They couldn't provide for their family. Then they ended up doing the thing that nobody expected to happen. They committed suicide. I had to deal with that. I was the person that had to talk to this individual, not realizing he was at the brink of suicide. I'm asking anybody that's listening to this call today, do you have anybody that's near and dear to your heart and you're worried about them? Ask them, have you ever thought of suicide? It's an extremely hard question to ask, but it may end up opening up the door to a deep, dark secret inside that they need to talk about. I'm telling you, if there's anybody that is out there that is dealing with any type of an issue, feel free to call this office. If you have nobody to talk to, I'll talk to you. This is near and dear to my heart, and I mean that. I want you to take that first step. I want you to make a phone call. And anybody else that's out there that's dealing with anxiety and stress and they just, you know, I know that feeling. It's overwhelming. I'm asking you to call a friend you haven't talked to in a while. Just do it. It'll make you feel good, and it'll make them feel good too. These are things that I did in my life. I'm 60 years old, and I still don't think I'm good enough. I still don't think I can do this job. There's thoughts in the back of my head. These are things that happen. These are the voices that we have to deal with. the lack of confidence. I fight these negative thoughts all the time. And I know there are people out there, and I know there are people on this call that are dealing with the same issue. Telling you, reach out. We're going to give you all sorts of phone numbers at the end of this phone call. But that's a little bit, I know that I took a tangent there, but I just, I'm sorry that I went that way, but I'm glad that Karen had brought up some of the stuff that we're talking about here. It means a lot to me.
Yes, and it is important for everyone to be aware of the resources available to help, especially during times like that when you feel like you just need someone to talk to, someone to reach out to. We will provide numbers. There are resources available. We have warm lines available in Delaware County. We have crisis teams that can go out to you. They're mobile. Please reach out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have the resources to help. And as Senator King mentioned, we no longer have long-term resources in the county, but we have a lot of community resources available. We have community inpatient hospitals for those who need inpatient care, who are experiencing acute symptoms. We have step-down units from acute care if you still need additional time. So we do have resources available. We no longer have the state hospitals institutions available, but we have a lot of community resources to still assist people with dealing with their struggles and their challenges. Another service that's extremely important in Delaware County, we have certified peer specialists and we have certified recovery specialists. These are individuals who can come alongside a person and they have actually themselves experienced some of the same issues and concerns and challenges that the person may be experiencing themselves at the time. So that has been very successful. Our certified recovery specialists who primarily deal with addictions and our certified peer specialists who deal with those who have mental health challenges have helped tremendously people in our county. So we want to make sure the resources are known as they are available, and we're doing everything we can to build our infrastructure. We can't replace the state hospital institutions, but we can still address the concerns that individuals are experiencing.
Thank you, Donna. I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to a live telephone town hall with State Senator John Cain and his guest, Donna Holliday, Deputy Mental Health Administrator for Delaware County. And if you have a question and want to join the discussion, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 to ask a question of Senator Cain or his guest. Also want to remind you that if you don't want to ask your question online, you can contact the Senator's office at 717-756-1548. For our next question, we're going to go to Joyce in Aspen. Joyce, you're on a live telephone town hall with Senator John Cain.
Hi, Senator Cain. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joyce.
This is a topic that does not get talked about enough, and it is workplace bullying and sexual harassment in the workplace. And I have gone through it on more occasions than any one person should ever have to go through it. And I want to say, thankfully, I have been in therapy for years for it. So I am getting the medication and the counseling that I need. But I think that it is beyond time that there are not just statewide laws, but national laws, healthy workplace bills, because what bullies and sexual harassers do in the workplace takes a toll. And I it is inconceivable to me that workers are not protected in the workplace, and that right now bullying and abuse in the workplace, unless you are in a protected class, is completely legal. Pennsylvania is an at-will state. They can fire you for cause or no cause. And I have stories that would curl your hair about what I have endured in the workplace. And I am now on the tail end of a 6-year-long sexual harassment lawsuit with a huge worldwide corporation. And the harasser has been protected. And I am being viewed as the troublemaker because I reported sexual harassment. And that somehow doesn't seem right. And it is all
Donna, can we talk about Joyce's concern, help for people who are, feel like they're being exposed to sexual harassment?
Yes, I noticed you mentioned that you are in therapy and that you are also receiving medication, but I would think that the resources that you're connected to would expand and hopefully are addressing that in some way. I can't speak to the workplace, but I know that the therapeutic milieu should be able to address the harassment and the feelings that you're actually experiencing in your workplace. So if that is not happening, you know, as I said, we could circle back after this call today to see if we can get some additional help for you to address those issues.
I have an absolutely phenomenal therapist at Crozier. So he has been by my side virtually through the whole thing. What I want more so, Senator Kane, is for bills to be passed protecting workers. In June, I plan on testifying in Massachusetts, Mass State House Advocacy Workshop for the Dignity at Work Act. And I will be sharing my stories with them and testifying because this has to change. Workers cannot go into the workplace and be bullied because what ends up happening is horrible mass shootings in the workplace. It's all legal. It's all absolutely legal. The employers need to be held responsible for their actions. And that is...
Oh, looks like the Joyce dropped off the line. Uh-huh. Senator,
comment? First of all, Joyce, thank you for sharing your story with us. Just to let you know, since I've been elected, workplace abuse was one of the issues that we took, and we took a strong stand with. We introduced legislation to prevent sexual harassment. That's one of the things that I'm extremely proud of. I just know that this could take a toll on you and your mental health. I love the fact that you're going to Massachusetts to talk about this. Our office is here for support. I'd love for you to stop up here sometime while I'm here, and we could discuss it. And, you know, if there's anything that's coming up at the state, having you come up and speak on behalf of it, because nobody knows better than you do. So I really appreciate the fact that you shared your story with us here tonight. And I'm extremely happy, especially since you're talking about workplace abuse. I'm extremely happy now that I have somebody in my district that I know I can lean on when it comes to about sexual harassment. So I'm sorry that it had to happen. And I just want you to know that I got your back. Thank you.
Let me remind our listeners that if you have a question and you want to join the discussion about mental health challenges and mental health treatment, press *3 on your telephone's keypad. And I would like to go to a question that was sent in to us by email, and that is, are there mental health services that people can access virtually online if they don't want to go anywhere in person?
Yes. Thankfully, the state has made all of the services that people were receiving before the pandemic, they are available now through most of our mental health providers. I want to say all of our mental health providers are, in fact, providing virtual services, and they're helping individuals access those services if they need equipment or if they need help in how to connect online. They are assisting as well. So again, our base service units are a good starting point to connect for virtual services, but all of our providers have the capacity for virtual at this time.
All right, thank you very much.
And actually, I was on a call today with the state, and so far we haven't received any information that says that those services, telehealth services, virtual services, have to end anytime soon.
All right. Thank you, Donna. We're going to go next to John in Chadsford. John, you're on live with Senator John Kane and his guest.
Hi, Senator Kane and Pamela. During the pandemic, I got a dog. And my dog really helped me, quell my anxiety. And just being around my dog, you know, gives me happiness and comfort. And I was wondering if there could be some kind of license that would say that your dog is a comfort dog and you could take your dog in stores with you instead of, you know, the store person going, we don't allow dogs here, only, you know, seeing eye dogs or service dogs, and no comfort dogs. Could we get some kind of license that says, well, this is a licensed comfort dog and it's allowed to be with me?
John, I hear you 100% on that. Myself, I'm a dog lover, dog owner. I feel you there. I know, you know, when you're all stressed out, there's nothing like sitting there and just petting your dog or your dog playing up on you. I get it.
Yeah. Okay.
But I believe that there's something out there that we can do to help you out with that. If you want, call my office tomorrow or whenever you get a chance. We'll look into getting that number for you or who you need to contact. I think a dog may end up having to, it may have to be go through a testing procedure to make sure, you know, it's not a ferocious dog, but I'll look, that's a great question. I love it. I'll see what I can do there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And I'll call.
You got it.
Thanks, John. All right, next we're going to go to Megan in Delaware County. Megan, you're on live with Senator John Kane and his guest.
Hi. Okay, you guys are probably going to judge me for this, but whatever. But you know how we were talking about how, like, a lot of people in the union will resort to opioids and drinking, and it just, like, occurred to me that those things are, I guess, things that they are – somewhat like forced to resort to rather than, as I said before, alternative medicines like medical cannabis and things like that. I was just wondering, like, has that ever been like looked into in terms of the recent laws passed? Just curious, you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Do you want to touch that one, Donna?
I'm not sure I quite understand the question. Has what been looked into, Megan? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Megan. dropped off the line. I think she was asking about the availability of alternative medicines and alternative treatments. I guess specifically where we are with cannabis for everyday use.
Well, what I could basically say is that I support the legislation of adult use of recreational marijuana. So if I hope, you know, Megan understands that I get it. You know, even though I'm an addict, you know, I personally, you know, don't believe that marijuana was the stairway drug that they say. Alcohol was the stairway drug for John Cain. You know, I started drinking, I'd do anything at that point. But I'm all for that. Cannabis seems to be, you know, the future, and I'm all about that. But I do know, coming from the construction industry, you know, it started out a lot of men, women, they ended up, they hurt their back, they hurt their arm, they hurt their shoulder. You know, they get put on some sort of an opioid. Then the opioid goes into, they become addicted to the opioids. They go into increase in the opioids. The next, you know, they give up the opioids and they're doing some sort of most of the people that ended up dying that I knew got addicted to heroin because it was a lot cheaper. So, but you know, if there's an alternative, I'm all about it, especially when it comes to marijuana.
Thank you,
Senator. As I mentioned earlier, our mental health department is in the same division with our drug and alcohol department. And I know there's been a lot of work done in the county with medication-assisted treatment. Of course, as I said, I'm kind of on the mental health side, but I know that there's a lot of ongoing work because there are a lot of people who are dually diagnosed who have both an addiction and mental health. So we work together a lot. But we definitely have additional information and a lot of information in the county regarding medication-assisted treatment, opioid addiction, and treatment for opioid addiction. So we'd be more than happy to share that information with you.
Thank you, Donna. If you have a question for Senator Cain or his guest and want to join this conversation about mental health challenges and mental health treatment, press *3 on your telephone's keypad. That's *3 to join the conversation. We're going to go back through the internet for one of the questions that was sent in to us, and that is, are there mental health resources specifically available for the LGBTQ+ community?
We have resources that we're aware of and that we do refer to, and we do work with that specialized population in the county and outside of the county. But to have specific programs that are only for that population, we do not have that available right now. But we do have resources available. And all of the resources that we have, we may have specialty therapists, specialty residential sites that can serve that population.
All right, thank you. We also had several questions sent in online about what people, obviously the pandemic affected people in a lot of different ways. What are the more common things you've seen mental health challenge-wise through the pandemic, and has the mental health services changed in any way to address those specific things?
I think a lot of what we're seeing has to do with just people understanding and normalizing what they are feeling and what they are experiencing, because in a lot of ways we've had people whose homes have become their businesses. We have people who are feeling isolated, who are feeling anxious, and you're not really knowing that this is normal in this situation. So just having an understanding of what's going on, what you're feeling, allowing yourself to experience it, knowing that there are resources available to help you experience it, and it's okay to use those resources even if you've never used them before. It's okay. And that's what we're finding, that we're dealing with often, helping people navigate, accept, and understand that their feelings are normal in some situations. You know, people are being traumatized by everything that's going on and has been going on for the last year. So that's our job, making sure they get the help they need and accept that it's okay to feel the way they're feeling during these challenging times.
Thank you very much. So for those of you listening in, and if you didn't really feel like you wanted to go on the air and ask your question, we're going to get back to the phones in a minute. And after the next question, we're going to repeat some of the phone numbers that might be helpful to you if you have any specific questions or any specific mental health challenges that you want to talk about. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the phones to Jane in Delaware County. Jane, you are on live with Senator John Cain and his guest.
Hey, good evening. I can relate to what you were talking about, Senator Cain. I've been down that road myself. It's been 40 years. I have a friend who is a power of attorney. She's helping her mom. And she's been, it's so much stressful. And is there any way I can kind of help her out? I mean, the rehab places she went to, the psychiatrist she had to call, all while she's working. And my mom had a behavior problem. And, you know, is there some form or something I can fill out, because she's in charge. Her mom put her in charge of everything. Is there any way I can help her out by releasing this stressful time for her?
So are you speaking of, now in our system, we do have case managers who usually assist families and assist individuals with accessing and linking and monitoring services. Would that be helpful in this situation?
Okay. Yeah. Would I be that in Delaware County? Upland or?
So the way to obtain a case manager is, again, to either look on the back of the insurance card, the member services number, and call that number, and or to contact the base service unit for an intake to connect to case management services. And that person would be able to help make some of those calls and to link some of the services that your friend is having to take time during work to do themselves.
Yeah, because at one time she's trying to work, trying to maintain her bills and everything, and
right,
she's running around working, and then she has to take her mom here and there. I give her release on Friday, and I bring her back on Sunday. But, you know, she has to maintain the medicine that she has, and it's working. They finally found something that works for her mom, which is very dang. I've been praying and praying and praying. That's all we can do.
We'll make both of the numbers available for the access points at each end of the county, and they can help with connecting to the services for individuals.
Okay, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
And I'd like to say, Jane, congratulations on your 40 years. I'm proud of you. But I also, you know, I didn't even think about, that's another level of stress that I wasn't even thinking about, certain people taking care of an elderly parent at home. So thanks for bringing that to my attention too. So, you know, if you're not able to get anywhere in the county with it, and if there's anything that we could advocate to help you out at the statewide level, please, you know, contact my office with that.
Yeah, working in a man's world as in transportation, let me tell you, I can give you some stories.
Oh, I bet you
especially
can.
Especially when they're jealous.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you,
thank
sir.
You for
I
calling.
Appreciate this.
No problem. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. All right, Senator, we're about running out of time for this telephone town hall. Donna, if you don't mind, could you give our listeners one more run through of the telephone numbers they need to have on hand in case they're having trouble coping or they have questions about mental health services that are available?
Yes. One of our 24-hour day, 7 days a week, one number that you want to have handy is 1-855-889-7827. That's to our Delaware Crisis Connections team. That's a team of mental health professionals that are mobile. We also have a warm line if individuals are feeling anxious and they just need to talk with someone. That number is 1-855-464-9342.
Thank you very much, Donna. Senator, it's up to you to have
sure.
the last word.
All right. So before I close, I'll give you some of the information that I have. Our office phone number is 717-756-1548. My office email is kane@pasenate.com. Also, our location of my office is at 504 Avenue of the States in the city of Chester. And opening soon, we're not open yet, is going to be 831 Brinton Lake Road for my Chester County area. But I have a couple of phone numbers here, too, that I'd just like to remind everybody. The Pennsylvania Mental Health Line is 855-284-2494. We have a suicide prevention line, lifeline, which is 800-273-8255. And what I'm being told is by the year 2022, they will be available by just dialing 988. I do have a Spanish number here. If they would like, you know, to speak in Spanish, the number is 888-628-9454. With that, I personally just want to say, you know, thank you for having Donna Holliday here today. Donna, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy night to be here. To those who were listening in and to those who asked questions, thank you. To my guests and you know, JP and Laura and Emily that put this all together, I can't thank you enough. Be safe, take care, and reach out to my office if you have any other questions. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating in Senator John Cain's Telephone Town Hall. If you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question in a voicemail, and the senator's office will get back to you. You've been a great audience. Thank you for sharing your evening with us.